I was reading an article the other day from medicaldaily.com, and the article caught my attention. It was entitled, Four Things Other Than Your Fingerprints That Make You One in 7.2 Billion People. In other words, the one thing that makes you different from everybody else. Let's go over these reasons. Reason number one, your ears. Every person's ears have rather unique curves and ridges. Unlike fingerprints, which can become scarred and worn down, the overall pattern of our ear ridges stays the same as we age. A researcher by the name of Mark Nixon developed an algorithm called image ray transformation, which could identify a person out of 252 others with 99.6 accuracy just by examining your ears. Your ears are rather unique. Are y'all still listening to me on this morning? The second thing is your eyes. When you are in the womb, the iris grows from tightly folded tissue membranes. However, just before birth, it degenerates to expose the pupil. And when this happens, the iris' unique structural pattern is formed. And that's why certain phones and doors won't open unless you can confirm the pattern of your eye. Your eyes are rather unique. The third thing is your gait. Now, I'm not talking about the thing that's outside your house. I'm talking about the slouch that people use when they walk throughout the world. How many people do you know slouch in this world or bounce on one foot while walking or dragging their feet? Everyone walks in their own way. And it's not just how their legs move that counts. It's how their entire body moves. This concept is known as a person's gait. And researchers have found analyzing what seems to be 24 components of what could accurately identify a person. And that's why a mother can tell her child from about two blocks away simply by the way her child walks. Amen, somebody. And the last thing, the fourth thing, is your tongue. While a person's teeth and their bite marks have been analyzed in courts since 1970s, the most unique part of the mouth might just be the tongue. As mentioned before, fingerprints can change slightly over time, but the tongue almost always stays the same since it's protected inside of your mouth. Are y'all hearing me on this morning? So just to give a brief recap, no one's eyes, ears, tongue, or walk is like yours. No one's hair grows exactly the way yours do. No one's fingerprints are like yours. There are few people who possess a laugh like you do. There are few people who sneeze the way you do. No one prays about exactly the same concerns as you do. No one is loved by the same combination of people that love you. You are unique. You are a rare breed. And you are one of a kind. But if we are all different, why do we try so hard to be like somebody else? Edward Young says this, if we are all born originals, why is it that so many of us die as copies? The problem plaguing our Christian communities is conformity. Somebody say conformity. Conformity is when we break loose of the pattern that God originally designed us in and begin to conform to the ways of the world. And we need to break forth of that pattern that hinders our relationship with God as well with man. And it's time for us to be that somebody who isn't trying to be like everybody else. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Well, what does that have to do with Jeremiah? Well, in Jeremiah 10, we found the prophet pontificating on the distinctive nature of our God. If I can give you a brief historical backdrop of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Now let me pause here and give a disclaimer. Jeremiah ain't no punk, y'all. He's not weeping because he's a punk. He weeps, but he isn't weak. He was sensitive, but he was not without strength. He was compassionate, but he did not compromise. He came to God like a child, but stood before men like a champion. Again, I say Jeremiah was not a punk. The reason as to why he lamented so much is because of the treatment he received for preaching the message of God. The message that he preaches was, or preached was so heavy that the Bible says in chapter 9 that it broke his own heart. Ain't nobody talking back to me this morning. It broke his own heart so much that he tried to quit the ministry, but found out that the word was like fire shut up in my bones. Come on, somebody. And while I'm here, let me pause parenthetically and remind somebody in the building that if the ministry that God has called you to is so easy for you to quit, then you got to question the fire that is deep down inside of you. Yeah. Ain't nobody trying to hear that on this morning. At the end of Jeremiah 9, God pointed out that his people were becoming like the nations. They were lacking in knowledge of God. They wanted to do wicked in their conduct. And they were starting to become just like the Gentile people. But God told them that you are a royal people, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Come on, somebody. He wanted them to be distinct. They didn't need a king because God himself was their king. But just like the people of today, the people back then wanted to be like somebody else, even though God made them unique. And so their perspective were off. And he's pleading to them. He uses Jeremiah to plead to them to separate themselves from the foolish customs of the nation that did not know God. And on today, I'm here to remind somebody under the sound of my voice that oftentimes we want to be like somebody. We want to be like others we see on TV. We want to be like others we see in our community, not realizing that God values us, calls us precious, made us unique in a rare breed, and he wants us to be distinctive in all our ways. And the only way for us to change from wanting to be like somebody else is for us to open up our eyes and realize just how God is distinctive from all the other false gods in this world. And if I had to preach a sermon topic on this morning, I would simply call it, "There is none like you." They're turning and they say, "Neighbor, there is none like our God." Yeah. How do we know that there is none like our God? Well, Jeremiah pontificates on a couple things in this chapter, but I'm not going to expound on all that on this morning. I'm going to highlight one thing and one thing only. And simply Jeremiah is saying that God is unique in his ontonomy. Y'all catch that? God is unique in his ontonomy. Notice how when Jeremiah starts talking about God versus the traditions of other nations, he begins to contextualize spiritual truths in a language that they can all understand. And he does so by speaking of palm trees. Somebody say palm trees. Yeah, it's right there in verse 5. Look at verse 5. The text says, "They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go." Highlight that word, needs be born. If you got the New King James Version, it says carried. Highlight that word, carried. Then, because they cannot go. "Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor also can they do any good." Jeremiah seems to be talking and have in mind palm trees as he begins to illustrate spiritual truths about our God. His primary thing to talk to these children of Israel, to let them know how distinctive our God is and how unique our God is to use a language that they can understand. So he borrows something from nature so that he can illustrate a spiritual truth. And the thing he borrows is a palm tree. The Hebrew word for palm tree is tomer. Like your toe and come here is tomer, and it means post or column. Y'all catch that? Tomer in the Greek is for palm tree, and it means post or column. Now, some of y'all are already thinking of palm trees when you're thinking of the palm tree mentioned in this text. However, Jeremiah is not talking about regular palm trees that blow in the wind. Nah, he's talking about a cut down palm tree that is now made a post. Are y'all with me on this morning? He's talking about a tree that's been cut down. It's been cut down to become a scarecrow. Are y'all with me on this morning? Now, we all know what a scarecrow is. A scarecrow is a decor mannequin, often in the shape of a human. in order to discourage birds from disturbing and feeding on recently cast seeds or the growing crops, the Israelites would dress up the columns and chop them down, dress them up as men, carry them to a portion of the field where the crows and all the crops were being damaged, and set them there to discourage the birds from feasting on the crops. Are y'all still with it, brother? However, in time, it became an ineffective thing. Why? Because animals became familiar with its structure and found out through time that this thing that just stood there and had to be carried wherever it needed to be carried to had no power. Jeremiah is comparing, y'all. He's contrasting the dependent scarecrow with the independent, self-sustaining God that we serve. These idols stand motionless, dumb, mute, and have been dressed up by humans to invoke fear on the birds. However, God is all-powerful, and his very presence invokes fear. Birds flock in the air and come down to disturb the feast and the crops. And over a period of time, these scarecrows did not scare off these birds. And here we go. In the order for the enemy, who is losing the prince of the airway, to be fearful, we can't use scarecrows. We have to use a living God whose very presence scares off the enemy. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. Jeremiah is saying that these idols are worthless. They're fraudulent and have to be picked up by man to even be moved from one place to another. However, our God is worthy. Our God is genuine. Our God is omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere at all times without the assistance of any man. Nobody has to carry our God anywhere. Our God is already there. David said, behold, if I made my bed in heaven, you were there. If I had made my bed in hell, y'all are there. Where can I go from your all-free presence, God? And I'm here to testify and tell somebody that God is already there. Whenever you need him, all you got to do is open up your mouth and God will be there. He will defend you. He will help the helpless. He will encourage the hopeless. God is faithful. Listen, if I could be honest, in my 40 years of living, I learned a few things about our God. Number one, God is self-sustaining, meaning God lacks nothing, craves nothing, and that he is everything he needs all by himself. Come on, somebody. I found out that God is self-subsisting, meaning he needs no support. He can support himself and don't need nobody to support him or clap for him. He's a God who doesn't beg for anything but commands everything. Come on, somebody. He's the self-existent one, meaning he told the Jews before Abraham was, I am, meaning he depends on nothing and no one for his very existence. Before you even walked in the world, God was there, and when you leave this green earth, God will still be there. The last thing you need to know, he's the self-sufficient one, independent, autonomous, and relying on himself. In other words, he needs no assistance, for he is able to stand on his own two feet. The psalmist declares, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Come on, somebody. In other words, it sounds absurd for a God to be hungry. But what's even more absurd is for somebody to think that a God who says he's hungry can be fed by mortal men. If God was hungry, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, they and all that dwell therein. That means if my God was hungry, my God don't have to ask me to do anything. He could take whatever he wants at any given time. Why? Because he's God all by himself. Come on, somebody. And if our God can provide for himself out of his own possession, then we ought to have enough faith to depend on him to meet our needs as well. In other words, because God is the self-sustaining one, because God is the self-sufficient one, because God is the self-existent one, we don't have to depend on somebody else. All we got to do is depend on God. I heard the old songwriter said, I can depend on God. I can depend on God through the storm, through the rain, through the sickness, through the ain't talking back to me. Through the pain, I can depend on it. I wonder if there's anybody in this building that found out without a shadow of a doubt when everything was going wrong. You can depend on God. When people let you down, you can depend on God. When folk walked away, you can depend on God. When folk dropped the ball, you can depend on God. When folk messed up and lied about you, you can depend on God. When nobody had your back, you can depend on God. When everybody else walked away, you can depend on God. When folk pushed you out your name and told you go ahead with your bad self, you can depend on Almighty God. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. I found out, Kurt, that I could depend on God for everything. When my money gets funny and my bills are due, all I got to do is call on Almighty God, and God will show up in the nick of time. And he may not come when I want him, but I found out, like the old brother say, that he's always on time. Anybody in here know that we serve an on-time God? God can sustain you in the midst of your famine. God can bring you joy in the midst of your gladness. God can give you hope when you feel like you are hopeless. God can bring you joy in the midst of sorrow. Is there anybody here at the sound of my voice that can wave your hand and testify that God is the strength of my life? He moves all pain, misery, and strife. He promised to keep me, never to leave me, ever, 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 ever fall short of his word. So Jeremiah's reminding us that unlike these scarecrows that gotta be picked up, unlike these scarecrows that gotta be dressed up to assume power, unlike these scarecrows that gotta be picked up because they can't move by themselves, our God is all powerful. Our God is omnipresent. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is omniscient. And God can do everything but fail. Let me see if I can make that plain. In my hand, you all see it right now, in my hand, I got a microphone. In case you didn't know it on this morning, this thing right here is a microphone. Now, the microphone does two things. Number one, it amplifies the normalcy of my voice. The second thing, it extends the range of my voice beyond my own capacity. Y'all catch that? It increases the volume and extends the range of my voice beyond normal capacities. Now, although this microphone is good, although it is a great device, there's one problem. Without me using my hands to put a battery on the inside of this thing, the microphone has no power. What are you saying, preacher? It takes human hands to put surrogate deities to work. Without money being exchanged from one hand to the other, money has no power. Without relying on human prayers, Greek mythological gods like Zeus would have no power, and eventually those gods would fall away. Without prayers and sacrifices from people, from these pagan deities like Egyptian gods, these gods that they serve would have no power. But even without the prayers of these people in this assembly, our God is still powerful. The Bible says that God is not served by human hands as if he needed any old thing, y'all. Rather, he himself gives life and breath to everything, and he sustains everything. He satisfies everything. In other words, our God has all power all by himself. He can speak to the mountain and the mountain will move because God has all power in his hand. He can speak to the waves and the waves will obey because God has all power all in his hand. He can speak to creation and creation came to fruition because God has all power in the palm of his hand. And he breathed breath of life into man's mortal body and man became a living soul because God has all power in his hand. And I don't know what you're facing on the day. I don't know if you're in a dead situation, but you need not trust in any of your thing. If anything, you need to trust in Almighty God. God is living. God is breathing. The Bible says that it's in him we move, we live, we breathe, we have
have our very being. In other words, without God, I will fail. He is the vine. We are the branches. In Him, we can bear much fruit, but apart from Him, I can't do anything. How many of y'all know in here that without God, you're destined to fail? Without God, you're going to fall down every single time. But the good thing about God is that no matter how many times you fell down, God still has the power to lift you up. Is there anybody here in this great old building that can testify that our God is powerful? Our God is unique. Our God is a rare breed. If God can do anything but fail, give God praise. Give God praise. Give God a praise. Say yes. Jeremiah puts it plain. I'm closing, y'all. Jeremiah puts it plain that there's nobody like our God. He says there's nobody like our God because no other God is autonomous like Him. Yet the greatest thing about our God was that He wasn't even trying to be like any other God, y'all. Our God made it a point to be different from all these false gods. And I'm looking for a few people in the building who want to be different than the norm. You're not conforming to the world because you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind. Holly Robinson said it best. Dare to be different. Stand out amongst the crowd. Dare to fear being heard. Scream it out loud. Stand up for what you know is right. And don't you ever back down when you really need to fight. And in my personal quest of being an urban reformer and a pastor, I have to admit, y'all, I felt like Vashawn Mitchell. I searched all over but couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low but couldn't find nobody. I threw all around the people and been all across the lands. I've been all across the places and been placed a whole lot of lands. But no matter where I've been and who I've met, I've never been around a God who's been like Him yet. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind? Up in here, up in here. Y'all wanna know what makes me crazy? Is that no matter where I turn, I found nobody like our God. When they ask me who can change the world, what you do, I say in my two sweat words, nobody. Tell me who can bring change to a culture like you do. And I say in my two sweat words, nobody. Tell me who can change lands down and make a change like you do. I'm saying my two sweat boys, nobody. Tell me who can bring a church to regeneration and reformation. I'm saying my two sweat boys, nobody. Nobody like you can change this environment. Nobody like you can handle this assignment. Nobody like you can transform my men. Nobody like you can bring all idols to an end. If you believe that you are rare, and if you believe that you are unique, why don't you stand to your feet and say yes, God, to your will, to your will. Wherever you go, God, whatever you say to do, God, do you promise never to leave you alone.